السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا مرحبا. A warm and hearty welcome to the program Covered Pearls with me, Zakira and Sarmia. Yes, this is a Monday afternoon and Alhamdulillah. Today we are going to be looking out for the moon of Dhul Hijjah. And inshallah, most likely tomorrow will be the first of Dhul Hijjah. So, how prepared and how ready are we for this beautiful month to dawn upon us? And especially the first 10 days of which hold such significance that we really need to get into gear and we need to remind ourselves of their importance. For those of you who were listening to Radio Islam from this morning, you may have heard our lineup for our Hajj broadcast this year. And alhamdulillah, many exciting things coming your way. Also, what you can expect in today's program and the Covered Pearls programs to come this week and next week, inshallah, is the importance of these 10 days that we have before us. And also, you can expect for me to discuss with you all the masail pertaining to Udhiyya, Qurbani, and the female, and whether she can slaughter or not, and is it important for her to slaughter first of all and pay for her own animal, etc., etc. So all that and much more coming up on this program, Covered Pearls, with me, Zakira and Sarmia.
Khuda ki bandagi ka lutraf hargiz pa nahi sakte, Rasool Allah ki sunnat ko jo apna nahi sakte. Hazaron bulahab aaye, hazaron bujahl aaye, ghulaman Muhammad ko kabhi behka nahi sakte.
Yes, this is the program Covered Pearls, and you're with me, Zakira and Sarmia. And like we do every Monday afternoon when we start up the program, we take inspiration and motivation from the beautiful book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And today we do the same, and we start off with ayah number 55 of Surah Nur. And in this beautiful ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed leaves us with a very, very precious lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this ayah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Wa'adallahu alladhina amanu minkum wa'amilu s-salihat, layastakhlifannahum fil ard, kama istakhlafa alladhina min qablihim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Allah has promised those who believe from amongst you. And these people don't just believe, they do righteous and good deeds. Allah has promised them what? Allah has promised that He will certainly grant them succession in the land. Allah will make them khalifas of the earth, right? That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the Muslims positions of leadership. What do they need to do for this? They need to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly, and secondly, they need to do good deeds. So they need to remember to prioritize their religion, to make Islam the thing that is most important. So whether you are a businessman, whether you are a doctor, whether you are a lawyer, you need to remember that if you are a Muslim businessman, a Muslim doctor, and a Muslim lawyer, then your deen comes first, and the regulations of Sharia need to regulate whatever business that you may be in. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do this? It is not difficult for Allah at all. Why? كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Because Allah has indeed done this for those before them. وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. And definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them authority. What? To grant them authority to do what? دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. Grant them authority to practice their religion the way He has chosen for them. ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. Allah is pleased with us practicing on this deen. So because Allah is happy with us when we practice on our deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that if we really do follow the religion of Islam in our every action, and even in those actions that, you know, do not concern our day-to-day matters when it comes to deen, like salah, etc., but rather those things which concern with those things which concern our dunyawi matters, then indeed by following deen in these, it will bring great joy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will give us authority in the earth, and He will become happy with us. وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. And Allah is giving us another bounty here that He will give us. One, He will give us authority. Two, He will allow us to practice on our deen just the way He is happy with us to practice it. And three, what does Allah say? He will grant security after having been fearful. So we may have been fearful to actually embark on this in the first place and to practice our deen openly, but because we've taken the first step and we've shown Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we do want to practice on our deen in every facet of our life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to our aid and grant us peace and security and safety so that we may be able to practice on our deen easily and without any hindrance. Subhanallah. What a beautiful ayah for us to take lesson from today. An ayah that we can definitely sit back and think about, and you know, when we think about it, there's so much for us to take in here. On a day-to-day basis, in our daily lives, we are faced with challenges. And often when these challenges arise and we feel we cannot manage with them because, you know what, my deen needs to come first, but really it's so difficult. How do I do this? Then we need to ponder and reflect on ayat such as these, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us emphatically that if we just take the first step and if we make the first move, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be at our aid and He will assist us. So whether it is the sister struggling with wearing the hijab, whether it is the brother struggling with keeping the sunnah beard, whatever it may be, my dear brother and sister out there, listen to what Allah is telling us in this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us so much of consolation and He's giving us so much of hope in this ayah and telling us that all you need to do is take the first step and I will be there to assist you along the way and to make things easy and to make things go smoothly. And then to end off the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you worship me and you do not ascribe any partner to me, then I will grant you all these things. So after having told us all the bounties and the blessings that Allah will grant us, He reminds us once again that when will you get these bounties and blessings, or how will you be entitled for these bounties and blessings? It is if you worship Allah and Allah alone and do not ascribe any partners to Allah. So even when we go into our businesses, let us remind ourselves that this business is not the means of my livelihood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has merely made it the sabab. But who is musabbibul asbab? Who is the one that uses this business of mine to provide me with my livelihood? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, let us not forget that worship, praise, thanks, glory, all of this is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Him alone. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not worship me alone and do not ascribe any partners to me, He is not merely speaking about the idols that the mushrikeen of that time worshipped, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the symbolic idols that we have in our lives today. Our monies, our status, all of these things. These things are also things which we need to put aside, and we need to remind ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to worship Him without ascribing anything to Him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the ayah by saying, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. And whoever disbelieves and whoever rejects this message of Allah after that, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So those, they are the fasiqoon, they are the rebellious ones, they are the sinners, they are those that don't want to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't want to practice on that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging them to do. They don't want to follow this injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. So indeed, by reading this beautiful ayah today and understanding the message that Allah has left us in this ayah, we've indeed we can indeed leave this segment of the program today with a lot to think about. It's so much of motivation and inspiration that we can go for the rest of the week just pondering over this ayah and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us when He explains to us in this ayah step by step how He will make things easy for us and how He will do things for us if we just merely take the first step. Well, that's our motivation and inspiration for this afternoon from Surah Noor. It's now time for us to go for a quick break. When we return on the other side of the break, we'll take a look at the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah and how we can benefit from these beautiful days that we have coming up.
رحلنا رحلنا نعم يا حبيب بقلب جريح ودمع سكين
رحلنا رحلنا نعم يا حبيب بقلب جريح ودمع سكين
رحلنا رحلنا نعم يا حبيب بقلب جريح ودمع سكين
رحلنا رحلنا نعم يا حبيب بقلب جريح ودمع سكيب
رحلنا رحلنا نعم يا حبيب بقلب جريح ودمع سكيب رحلنا رحلنا نعم يا حبيب بقلب جريح ودمع سكيب
ترى يا حبيبي سيبقى الوداد ويبقى التاخي كغصن الرطيب
ترى يا حبيبي سيبقى الوداد ويبقى التآخي كغصن الرطيب
ترى يا حبيبي سيبقى الوداد ويبقى
Yes, welcome back to the program Covered Pearls, and you're with me, Zakira and Sabnia. And as I was mentioning to you before the ad break, this is part of the program in which we speak about the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, their significance, what we need to do in these days, and how we can make the most of these blessed days of Dhul Hijjah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted us with. My beloved listeners, if you were listening to the program from the beginning, you would have noted that I mentioned that today, Alhamdulillah, Radio Islam did give you their lineup in the morning on Sabah al-Muslim. Mawlana Sulaiman gave you a lineup of what can be expected on the program in the days to come, our Hajj broadcast, and all the exciting features that it has to offer. If you have not yet acquainted yourself with these, then you can go to the website and inshallah you will be able to see the various features of the program on the website. Or you could simply check on my Facebook page, Zakira, or Radio Islam's Facebook page for that matter. Now, today what I'm going to speak to you about here is how we can take maximum benefit from these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. The first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are among the most magnificent days in the Islamic calendar, really. As the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has said, there are no days in which righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah than the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And this hadith comes to you in Sahih Bukhari. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has really made us understand the importance of this day, of these days, by taking a qasam and an oath in the Quran by these days. Now we know that when we take a qasam and an oath, we take an oath by Allah, because He is indeed the greatest of the great. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath in the Quran, then He takes an oath by His majestic creations. He takes an oath by the things that He considers superior. And subhanallah, in Surah Al-Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second ayah says, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, and by the 10 nights. And most mufassirun, including Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu radiallahu an, are of the opinion that these 10 nights that Allah speaks about here are indeed the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has further told us that one fast during these days is equal to the fasting of one complete year, and the worship of one night during this period is equal to the worship of Laylatul Qadr. And this hadith comes to us in Tirmidhi. Subhanallah, let's just ponder on the words of this ayah. One fast equal to an entire year? How many of us know whether we're going to even live for the next year? We don't know that. And imagine just fasting for one day of these first 9 days, not being able to fast on the 10th day. That will, inshallah, be the day of Eid al-Adha. But just fasting one of these 9 days, and we will get the reward of 1 year's ibadah. Praying on one night of these 9 nights, and we will get the reward of staying up on the night of Qadr. Now, subhanallah, we all know that the night of Qadr, we stayed up in the month of Ramadan on each of the odd nights simply because you and I wanted to seek out Laylatul Qadr. Simply because you and I wanted the virtue of this night of Qadr. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this reward. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, like when you're having a sale in a store and they tell you that come in between 3 to 5, because any time between 3 to 5 will give you a 10-minute trolley dash, and whatever you can put into your trolley will all be yours for free. We'd probably be standing outside that store way before 3, because knowing that from 3 to 5, when the time, any time in that time, it can happen, so we want to be there. And this was how it was in Ramadan. When Allah gave us those 5 nights, and Allah said that any one of these 5 odd nights could be Laylatul Qadr, each night we tried our best. And each night we prayed to Allah, and we made dua, and we said, oh Allah, tonight is the night of Qadr, then please grant us the reward. Well, here, my beloved sisters, my dear listeners, Allah has taken this bountiful reward of His a notch above. He's taken it one step above that. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, I'm not telling you to guess pray all 5 nights because you know that one of these nights are going to be. I'm giving you the reward of Qadr. So just pray on every one of these nights and on every, for sure, for certain, absolutely, subhanallah. This is like really fabulous gift, and we just don't know what to say. We're speechless. At a time like this, we really need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's given us such a gift. And one of the ways to thank Him is not merely to verbally thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to show Him by our actions and to put in as much effort as we can in these 9 days, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see how really thankful we are for this gift that He has given to us. In another hadith, it is mentioned that there are no days in which righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah than these 10 days. The people then asked, not even jihad for the sake of Allah? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, not even jihad for the sake of Allah, except in the case of a man who goes out to fight and he gives himself, his wealth, and everything that he has to the cause, and he comes back with nothing. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to us about these days of Dhul-Hijjah that are about to come upon us. Now, what indeed can we do during this time? What are the best actions that we can try and perform? The first one would be to ask Allah to forgive us. Tawbah, tawbah, tawbah. Repentance. Why? Because we've had Ramadan, and in Ramadan we tried our best and we asked Allah to forgive us, and then came the days of Shawwal, and we kind of kept up our good deeds because it was the month of Shawwal and there was the 6 fasts and all of that. But slowly as time went on, we lapsed and we fell and we became, you know, we kind of went back to our old habits. Why? Because we're human and we find it so difficult sometimes to really move on and to keep this momentum going. But look at our merciful Allah. He doesn't leave us. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, "Don't worry, my servant. That may have been a little lapse that you had along the way, but here's 10 days and 10 nights. Here's time to fast again and pray again and worship me again, and everything will be fine again." Isn't our Allah so merciful, my beloved listeners, my dear sisters out there? We can feel this mercy of Allah. It's on our doorstep and it's about to envelop us again. If we really, really look at it, we'd realize that the first thing we need to start off with is tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Asking Allah for forgiveness, sincerely repenting to Him that, "Oh Allah, I've lapsed, I've fallen down, I've become so downtrodden, oh Allah, it's been so difficult to keep up with all the good actions that I tried to do in Ramadan. Oh Allah, I beg of you and I ask you, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, and allow me the ability to move on and come back to the level that I was on." The next thing would be that we need to start with the fara'id first. So we need to start with those things that are most important first, right? So the next thing would be that after we've asked Allah to forgive us and we've sort of cleansed ourselves, now we need to remember to do our fara'id on time. Pray your 5 daily salah on time. For the males in the masjid, with jama'ah. For the females, pray your salah on time. As soon as the time comes in, pray your salah. Do not neglect your salah. The next act that we could do is obviously observing the fast for the first 9 days of this month. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu tells us that, "I heard Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, 'Indeed, anyone who fasts for one day for Allah's pleasure, Allah will keep him away from the fire of Jahannam for a distance that will take a person 70 years to cover.'" So let us try and observe fast on these first 9 days, the 10th day obviously being that of Eid al-Adha, and on this day we do not fast. The next one is, do not miss fasting the day of Arafah. So if you cannot do all 9, then the least you could do, or the best that would be good for you to do, would be fast the day of Arafah. Obviously, the pilgrims, the Hajjaj, don't fast on this day, but the non-pilgrims, those of us like me and you, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't chosen this year, then it is highly recommended for us to fast on the day of Arafah. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us in a hadith of Imam Muslim, that it expiates the sin of the preceding year and the coming year. And there is no day in which Allah frees a greater number of slaves from the hellfire than on the day of Arafah. The next thing that we can do is dua, dua, dua. Have you ever really understood the implication of what it is to make dua and ask of Allah? Well, the good time to do that would be right now. On these beautiful days, let us make such a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we, at any juncture in our life when we need help, we turn to Allah and we ask Him first. So make dua for everything and anything in your life and all that you need to ask Him. Ask from Allah alone. Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illa hu, alayhi tawakkalt, wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. Remind ourselves of this constantly, that Allah is sufficient for me in all my needs, whether it be my dunyawi needs. Hasbi Allahu li dini, hasbi Allahu li dunyaya, hasbi Allahu lima ahammani, hasbi Allahu liman bagha alayya, hasbi Allahu liman hasadani, hasbi Allahu liman kadani bisu, hasbi Allahu indal maut, hasbi Allahu indal mas'alati fil qabr. Let's remind ourselves that Allah is sufficient for us sufficient for us at every juncture of our life. So beg dua for everything that you possibly need. Try to do something good at every juncture, so that on each day you have a special deed written down for you, as the deeds done on these days are multiplied manifold. Try and give as much charity as possible. Maintain good family relations, as keeping good family relations also gives us reward. And remember that these nights need to be spent in ibadah, like tahajjud, dhikr. Performing tahajjud salah normally is a great act of ibadah, but ensuring that we perform tahajjud on these nights shows us that we really want to gain this link and bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really, really wants us to bond with Him in this time. That's why He's given us this time. Now, when we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this time of tahajjud, let us recall this hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will declare war against him who shows hostility to a pious worshipper of mine. And the most beloved things with which my slave comes nearer to me is what I have enjoined upon him, the fara'id. And my slave comes closer and closer to me with the nawafil, those things that he does voluntarily, till I love him so much so that I become his sense of hearing, his sense of sight, his hands with which he grips, his feet with which he walks, his tongue with which he asks, and I will give him anything that he asks. If he asks me for protection, I will protect him. So, do not hesitate to do anything. So, I do not hesitate to do anything other than to take the soul of the believer, for he hates death and I hate to disappoint him. And this hadith comes to you in Bukhari. This hadith is so beautiful, my beloved listeners, isn't it? It tells us of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how Allah wants us indeed to be doing good deeds in this time. And by doing good deeds, we are only coming closer and closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next are the takbirat, and reciting the takbirat from the first day of Dhul Hijjah right until the day of Eid. And then obviously there are the special takbirat, which we will speak about in next week's program, inshallah, which we need to remember to recite from the 9th until the 13th. And lastly, let us not forget that as much as doing good deeds during this time increases in reward, let us try and stay away from all types of sin. As doing good deeds during a noble time increases reward, and doing sin during a good and auspicious period of time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set aside also makes the punishment more. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from sin, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and the tawfiq to do more and more good deeds, so that we may become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so that we may bond with Him, and so that our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be strengthened, inshallah. So that this link that we make with Allah can be one that we will keep with Him for the rest of the year, inshallah. With that, it's now time for me to go for a break. When we return, inshallah, we come to you with our virtual ziyarah, followed by our female masail segment of the program. So stay tuned to the program Covered Pearls with me, Zakira and Sirmia.
Al Tawheed Islamic Center Kurbani 2015. A grade animals available from 1,500. You may slaughter with us for your own consumption or donate the meat for distribution. We distribute meat parcels to poor and indigenous Muslims at various of our centers across Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and the Northwest. All proceeds will go to upgrade the Wheeler's Farm Masjid and Madrasa. Banking details as follows: Standard Bank account number 202-566-889, branch 015-137, reference Kurbani. For more information, call 011-854-9510 or visit us at the Trade Route Mall shop number L31 next to Celsi.
Sedges, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual and kiddies branded clothing for the lovers of functional art. Try our Carol Boys range. Look at our exquisite furniture and linen department. Tasteful furniture, decor and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry. watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedgers, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar-proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenhof. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
Madrasatul Salihat invites all ladies to its annual Jalsa on Saturday, 19th September 2015, corresponding to the 4th of Zilhijjah 1436. Venue, Madrasatul Salihat, 30 Bird Street, Mayfair. Time, 1:15 p.m. Discover your power. Be a woman of inspiration. Leave a legacy. Join Madrasatul Salihat as we showcase how you can be instrumental in building society. You will be inspired, entertained, and enlightened. Don't mess out.
Radio Islam. نحن نضعك على الطريق الصحيح للحياة السعيدة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. يرهني ذاكرة عن سبنية. And this is the segment of the program in which we do our virtual ziyarah. So inshallah today we will be continuing. And last week we left off on Mount Hira. Today we will be continuing about the cave of Hira and the Mount of Hira. And it has been mentioned in a narration about this mountain from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once on this mountain, a few Sahaba were with him when the mountain started to tremor. And it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed it saying, "O Hira, be still, because upon your back today are none other than a Nabi, a Siddiq, and a number of martyrs. With Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that day was Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Uthman, Ali, Talha and Zubayr radiallahu anhum, including Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas." The martyrdom of all the six Sahaba radiallahu anhum mentioned above was prophesied, and each of them was blessed with the noble status of martyrdom one after the other. So yes, that is with regards the cave of Hira and Mount Hira in particular. The next site that we go to that is in Makkah al-Mukarramah is the Darul Arqam, the house of Arqam radiallahu anhu. This house belonged to a Sahabi called Hazrat Arqam bin Abu Arqam. From some time after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proclaimed his prophethood, this house was a secret center of propagation. It was here that the Muslims gathered to perform Salah and to learn about Islam. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu accepted Islam in this house, there was already 40 other Muslims. Because the valor and courage of Umar radiallahu anhu was acknowledged by all, it was after his conversion to Islam that Muslims started performing Salah in the open, and Islam was then propagated publicly. The Abbasi Khalifa Harun al-Rashid had a masjid built on the site in the year 171 after Hijrah, and it is situated outside the Mas'a, that is the area where Sa'i is made, 36 meters east of Mount Safa. During their terms, various Muslim Khulafa have renovated and rebuilt the masjid. However, when the Mas'a section was extended, the masjid had to be made part of the Mas'a, and all that remains as a reminder of this place is the name on the door that has been named after it. The location of Darul Arqam is close to this door. The next place we speak about today is the Valley of Abu Talib. This is a valley in Mecca known by the names the Valley of Abu Talib and the Valley of the Banu Hashim. The homes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family members were situated in the vicinity of this valley. It is situated between Jabal Abi Qubais and Mount Kanadim, close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's birthplace. Now, if you remember in last week's virtual ziyarah, we spoke about the birthplace of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how initially there was a library there, but now even that has been closed down. So this is the valley of Abu Talib between Jabal Abi Qubais and Jabal Kanadim. And it is 300 meters from Masjid al-Haram and extends to the Basa Makkah. That is the Souq al-Layl area where, you know, now it has become a night market. When they were unsuccessful in this attempt as well, that is, the Muslims continued spreading Islam, then what the Quraysh then did was, they resorted to a social boycott, imposing severe restrictions upon the Muslims. This made the Muslims suffer intense hunger and forced them to eat leaves. However, even after having to withstand such hardships, for 3 long years, they remain unshifted from their principles. In the end, the people of truth, that is the Muslims, were victorious, and the people of falsehood, that is the Kufar, the Quraysh, and others, emerged as the failures. The next area of interest that we speak about today is Darun Nadwa. Qusay bin Qilab built the Darun Nadwa approximately 150 years before the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The house was used for public meetings, and it was also here that the battalions received their flags before marching into battle. The house served as a place of parliament for the Quraysh. It was also here that the leaders of the Quraysh gathered to scheme against Islam and the Muslims. The house was also the site of the final plot that was made to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to prevent him from migrating to Medina, as many Sahaba radiallahu anhum had already done so by then. Their fear was that Islam would gather strength in Medina and become a force to be reckoned with. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam still left for Makkah unscathed, and Islam eventually prevailed despite their plots and plans. Because the Darun Nadwa was close to the Masjid al-Haram, many Muslim leaders and Khulafa stayed there when they performed Hajj and Umrah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu also stayed there on one occasion, and the Abbasi Khalifa, Mu'tadid Billah, included the Darun Nadwa into the Masjid al-Haram in the year 284 AH. It covered an area of approximately 37 square meters, and is located northwest of the Kaaba and is now in the covered area of the masjid. To note, its one-time existence is a door that has been named after it, the door of Darun Nadwa. So like this, like we see the home of Arqam, the Darul Arqam, a door has been named after it. Darul Nadwa, a door has been named after it. So if we need to know where these places used to be situated in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to take care of noting the names of the doors, as these doors have not been merely named these things, but rather they have a significance behind being named in this manner. And inshallah, by noting down the names of these various doors, we will be able to get an understanding of where these sites of Islam used to be back in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next very important place that we speak about is the house of Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha. The house of Umm al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, holds great significance in the history of Islam, because it was here that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived from the time he married her until he migrated to Medina. It was also here that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughters, Hazrat Zainab, Ruqayya, Kulthum, and Fatima radiallahu anha, were all born. Hazrat Khadija passed away in this home, and revelation descended on numerous occasions in this blessed home. It was also here that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left for Hijrah, and at a time when many Muslims had already left Makkah, this was when he left his home to go to Medina. This house was next to that of Abu Sufyan, and his son Muawiyah radiallahu anh later bought it and made it into a masjid. He then made a door from his father's home leading to this masjid. The masjid was rebuilt and renovated several times in its history until 1369 after Hijrah, when Sheikh Abbas Qattan had a girls' madrasa built on the same site. And it was in 1385 that this area was finally incorporated into the courtyard of the Masjid al-Haram on its extension. The last place of significance that we will speak about in today's virtual ziyarah is the Cave of Thawr. This cave is located in Mount Thawr, which is 4 kilometers south of Masjid al-Haram. The mountain itself is 858 meters above sea level and 458 meters above ground level. The shape of the mountain resembles that of an upturned ship. The interior of the cave is a mere 1.2 meters high by 3.5 meters. The cave has two entrances, a western entrance being the one from which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered, and this entrance can only be accessed whilst laying down. However, from the 9th century onwards up to the 13th century, this entrance has been continuously expanded, and its height today with the last step is almost a meter in length. The other entrance is wider and is located on the eastern side. This entrance was specifically made so that it would be easier for people to enter and exit the cave, and it is 3.5 meters away from the other entrance. The cave is close to the summit of the mountain, and a climb up is a difficult one that takes nearly 1.5 hours. Referring to this cave in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in an ayah. And this is an ayah of Surah Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "If you do not assist him," that is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "then indeed Allah will assist him. As when the kuffar drove him out of Makkah, he was the second of the two when they were in the cave. And when he told his companion, 'Do not grieve, as verily Allah is with us.' So Allah caused his tranquility to descend on him, assisted him with an army that you could not see." That is, obviously, Allah assisted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this point with an army of angels. When Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu once said, "When I was in the cave with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the mushrikeen had already reached the mouth of the cave searching for us, I said to him, 'O Rasulullah, if any of them just has to merely look at his feet, he will certainly see us.' Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 'What do you think of two persons who have Allah as their third?'" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr spent 3 nights in this cave, and when they were satisfied that the mushrikeen had given up their search, they employed the services of a guide called Abdullah bin Urayqit, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then rode a camel, while Hazrat Abu Bakr and his slave Amir ibn Fuhaira shared another one. Hazrat Amir rode behind Hazrat Abu Bakr, and in this manner they reached Madinatul Munawwara, and the journey of Hijrah was finally completed. Well, that's all we have time for in this segment of our virtual ziyarah for today. Inshallah, that's where we will be leaving it for now. And when we return on the other side of this ad break, we will be doing our female masail segment. So stay tuned to this program, Covered Pearls, with me, Sakira Ansarnia.
Kurbani with Crescent of Hope. Once again, Crescent of Hope brings you Kurbani at affordable prices locally and internationally. And trust us with your Nifl or Wajib Kurbani performed by Ulama and Crescent of Hope members. Excess funds will be utilized for Deen activities. Funds will not benefit any individual. Contact Crescent of Hope on 011-852-7370. 137 Rose Avenue, Lanesha. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spices. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanesia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
When you're after a trusted brand like Toyota, you want the same kind of expertise and reliability you'd expect from one of their top dealerships. Before buying your next Toyota, come in and speak to the professionals at Freeway Toyota. Whether it's a Corolla, Yaris, Auris, or Hilux you're looking for, don't sign up until you've spoken to one of our highly qualified team of sales professionals. We will not only match, but beat any written quote. Give us a call or come in for a test drive. 011-661-0000.
راديو إسلام، نحن نضعك على الطريق الصحيح للحياة السعيدة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You're into the final segment of the program Covered Pearls with me, Zakira Ansarnia. And in this final segment, we discuss your female masayil queries. So I encourage you that if you do have any female masayil queries, now is the time to send them in. The number is 061-406-2688. Or simply drop me an email on the email address za@radioislamlive.com. With just a mere week away from the days of Eid al-Adha, yes, it is time for us now to think about purchasing our Qurbani animal and selecting the best animal, and also for us as females to try and pay for this animal on our own, as the days of Eid al-Adha not merely bring upon us another Eid for us to be purchasing new garments, and you know, all this is in place. Yes, mashallah, on the day of Eid we need to wear our best clothes. If we choose to wear new clothes, then mashallah, this is great. But it is very important for us as females to keep in mind that, like it was important for us to pay our own zakah, it is also important that we set aside money to purchase our own Qurbani animal. Remember, if we want our own reward on the day of Qiyamah for this animal, and it is mentioned that this animal that we slaughter on the day of Qurbani will come with its hair and its hooves and every part of it, and all of this will be placed onto our scales of deeds on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah, and we will get the reward for this entire animal. So inshallah, if you do want this reward to be placed in our scales of deeds on the day of Qiyamah, when we will need the rewards most, then inshallah, let us put aside that money and let us try and make a point of making our own Qurbani. Obviously, for the female who does not work, then there are alternatives throughout the year. Let's try doing something with our own hands. It is mentioned about the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhunna, that they would buy raw camel hide, they would then tan it, and they would sell the tanned hide simply so that they could make some money and they could give of this money in sadaqah. Now the reason I'm mentioning this is because I'm trying to bring about the point that we have the entire year, and throughout the year we can do something with our own hands that will make it easy for us, that when it comes to times like this, we are able to spin from our own wealth for these causes. Right? So, inshallah, let us try and purchase our own Qurbani animal. And next week we will touch on the various masail of slaughtering the Qurbani animal and whether a female can slaughter her own animal, etc. So, inshallah, stay tuned to next week's segment of the program, the female masail segment, and we will be discussing this. For now though, to wrap up this discussion in the next 5 minutes or so, I would like to clarify two matters that I spoke about in last week's Female Messiah Ill program. And for the past few weeks, we've been speaking about a sister's guide to Hajj. So last week too, we were speaking about various Messiah with regard to Hajj. And in last week's program in particular, on Tuesday, that is, I was speaking about the difference between a female who is in the state of Hajj and how she will fulfill her Tawaful Ziyara and her Tawaful Wida. So I'd just like to explain that again. What I did mention there was that if she is in the state of Hajj during the time of fulfilling her Tawaful Ziyara, then she will have to ensure that she stays until she is Tahira, and then she fulfills her Tawaful Ziyara and then leaves, because Tawaful Ziyara is a fard act of Hajj, and the Shafi'i woman, this is called Tawaful Ifada. So even for a Shafi'i woman, whether it is Tawaful Ziyara or Tawaful Ifada, whichever one, right, this is a fard act of Hajj, and therefore we need to ensure that this act is completed before we leave back for our home countries, as that is a necessity for our Hajj to be complete. This is what I was explaining. So the lady that is in Hajj, obviously, she will have to stay and wait until she can complete it. Or, ulama tell us that there is a means and a way for her to return home, but then she will have to pay a dam, and it will have to be slaughtered in the hill area, and you know, it is quite a long and lengthy process of what she will have to do if, unfortunately, without, she took all the precautions, perhaps she even went on the pill or, you know, whatever contraceptive or anything to keep away her Hajj, and still she got her Hajj. So, like this, if she took all the preventative measures and she still got her Hajj during these days, then there is some means for her to return back home, but there will be something that she will have to do. She will have to pay the dam and so forth and so on, and this animal will have to be slaughtered within a certain area in the haram, and all of this will have to be done just so that her Hajj is complete. Now all this will be with regards to the lady who was in the state of Hajj and could not perform her Tawaful Ziyara. When we speak about Tawaful Wida though, Tawaful Wida is a very important Tawaf. This is the Tawaf when we are saying farewell to the Kaaba, the Baytullah al-Musharrafa. But this is not a fard act of Hajj. So, it is very important, yes, but it is not fard. So therefore, if a lady ends up in the state of Hajj during these last few days before she leaves, she has performed the Tawaful Ziyara, so her Hajj is complete. But during the last day or 2 days before she leaves, she ends up having a Hajj. Then for her, she will not be able to make the Tawaful Wida, and she will be able to return home without having to pay any dam or anything of this nature, because this is not a fard act of Hajj. So that is what I was explaining. Not that Tawaful Wida is not important and that it doesn't need to be performed. No, absolutely not. It is a very important act. But that Tawaful Wida is not a compulsory act, and Tawaful Wida is not an act that the completeness of Hajj depends on. Hence, if a lady does get her Hajj in the latter part of her journey, then she, after having completed the Tawaful Ziyara, then for her to not complete the Tawaful Wida and return home will be fine. So inshallah, that is what I wanted to explain, and that brings us to the end of the program Covered Pearls today. Until we meet tomorrow in the Women's Weekly program, I ask you to remember me in your special du'as, and inshallah, by tomorrow we will be in the first of Dhul Hijjah. So, the blessed days of Dhul Hijjah quickly drawing upon us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be able to do our best in these days, as these are days on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath in the blessed Quran. So, until we meet tomorrow, same time, same place, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.